This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, and thank you for this introduction. You're listening to The War Room, and we are here at BPN Radio, Seismic Radio, and we are looking at the end time. Is it the last talk, possibly the last talk on the end time? There's lots of stuff to do with the end time. There's biblical prophecy from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, pointing to a time in the history of the world which is just like this time, and highlighting it as a time where Jesus will return. It's a very, very important doctrine. It's very often it's not touched by many churches. Many churches don't want to know about this. Even within the evangelical sector, there's a movement, and the movement is called Dominionism, which basically talks about Christianity coming to such a preeminent position in this world that they pretty much take over all the institutions of the world. And when we've come to that point, then Jesus comes back. So it's a very, very strange stuff that's going on in this world. There are a lot of other sort of very strange ideas about the end times. Now, in my opinion, the Bible is very clear. You just need to take it at face value. And it's talking about it. It's given us a list of signs. I mean, one thing, one little project I wanted to do is just maybe one day I'll sit down and just go through, you know, create some sort of spreadsheet and look at all the signs which point to the last days, and then collect them. Now, if you do this, you will find that they're probably the vast majority, maybe 90% of the signs which are there, things which have to be fulfilled for the return of Christ to come, have been fulfilled. And one of the biggest and the strongest one is the one in Matthew 24, where Jesus says that this gospel has to be preached to the whole world, to all nations, and then the end will come. And that's something which has been achieved, and we are there right now. And that's probably one of the strongest signs which is there. The gospel has been preached. Doesn't mean that they all accept it. A lot of nations have rejected it. A lot of people don't want to know about God. And we are living in an age of apostasy, where great parts of those who are called by, you know, according or unto the name of Christ, or by the name of Christ, you know, Christian churches, they have abandoned the simple doctrine of the Bible, and they're just doing their own little thing, but they are not following the Lord, their Lord, or their apparently their Lord. They seem to be serving another gospel, another doctrine, and they're sort of getting involved into whatever the zeitgeist says and preaches to them, because they want to be nice, they want to be tolerant. They are no longer interested in the truth. They are no longer interested in the way of God, but they follow whatever the zeitgeist is preaching them. I want to look at one scripture today, which is in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it is in verse 3, and it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." There will be a time when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. It's a time when people can't stand sound doctrine anymore. And I think this time is here, right now. To be fair, when you look at the scripture, it doesn't talk about the end time. It doesn't talk about at the end. We have looked at other scriptures, and it says that in the last days, Peter talks in the last days, scoffers will come. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "But know that in the last days, perilous times will come." That is what Paul is saying to Timothy. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." So that's the latter times, and then we've got the last days. And here we have just got "a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears." I want to talk about this a little bit, and we have found that there's some very strange stuff coming out. I again, please, I have to say this at this place as well, that whatever I say it's not necessarily the opinion of BPN Radio. It's very important to point this out at this point because I'm sure I'm going to upset some people. But do I care? Yes, I do care. But on the other side, I want to speak the truth the way I see it. Am I right? I don't know. And I feel I'm open to be corrected. And if you feel you need to correct me, that's fine. You know, get in touch and you can do this on the website at christianwarroom.com and leave a message. Or you can do this via BPN Radio. Just leave a message either. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that we have got a lot of false teachers which have come up in the last days. We have got the prosperity gospel, which came up, and it was pushed by, I'm trying to avoid names, but by some big preacher names. You know, some guy, he came up with this idea, and he started pushing the prosperity gospel, and it's been going through. Now, the Bible doesn't justify it. It's not in the Bible. It's not biblical. It's not biblical. Nowhere in the Bible can you derive from the New Testament a theology that you come to Christ and you will be financially prosperous. You will be, having a better job, you will be healthier, you will have a better life. It doesn't state it in the New Testament. On the contrary, we find things like Paul, it looks like he was de facto blind. In some of the references which we find in the book of Acts, in one instance, Paul said to his, to his church members when he was leaving for Jerusalem that at the time, you know, if they could have, they would have ripped out their eyes and given them to him. In another instance, in one of the letters, Paul says that he was writing with really big letters to see them. He's saying also in another instance that God has given him a sting in the flesh. And he asked God three times to take it away from him, and God told him that his strength is made perfect in weakness. And it's just one example where it's not all about being healthy and wealthy, and it's not really a New Testament concept. On the contrary, when you read through some of the things, people were really struggling. They were really, really struggling to try and get through. But nevertheless, God was looking after them. He was meeting their needs. I once heard one guy, a brother, saying to me that God will meet your needs but not your wants. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. But the problem is we've got, doctrines, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up teachers upon themselves who teach them the stuff they want to hear, not the stuff they need to hear. And it's sometimes a little bit the thing, what you need to hear is you need to repent. You are a sinner. You need to stay away from sin. You yourself are rotten and you cannot stand before God the way you are. And that's the reason why you need the gospel, why you need the Lord Jesus Christ, why you need to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. There's a message of deny yourself and follow me. There's a message of there's a narrow way, a very, very narrow way. And it's not a way of, luxury and, take it easy and have a good life. But it's sometimes a way of hardship. And that is really what the gospel says, that God is calling you into stuff which is going to end up you being imprisoned, possibly, you being persecuted, you being overlooked for a good career move because people don't like you for being a Christian. You're being called upon to witness. You're being called upon to live as a stranger and a sojourner here. You look at Hebrews 11, the chapter, the heroes of faith, and you look at all the stuff that's in there. Let me just go there because it's one of those typical chapters, talk prosperity gospel. Let's see what happens to the heroes of faith. Hebrews 11. Yeah. Let's go quickly through the thing, but we have got these guys coming up, out of the wormholes. That's what I would like to say, out of the wormholes. And they've done this for about 50 years, giving us a gospel that is not in the Bible. And it's a big, big problem. We need to realize what's going on. I'm not going to go through the whole chapter of Hebrews. We haven't got the time for that. But when you sort of read this and it talks about all the people, the heroes of faith, And then right at the end, it tells us what's happened to them. Let's have a look. Okay, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, and yes, more of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, did not receive the promise, for God had provided some better thing for us, that they should be made perfect without us. Okay, and this is sort of in Hebrews. It talks about all the great people in the Bible, you know, the people of faith, like I'm just picking out some names: Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and so on. And it talks about, you know, the rough time they went through. Let's go through Hebrews 13:14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Another translation would say, let me just go to the King James one, King James translation. 14, for here we have no continuing city. It's the same translation, but we seek the one to come. Another translation says something like, for here we don't have a steady abode, but we're looking for the one to come. Young's Literal, let's see what they say. You get the gist, yeah. For we have not here an abiding city, but we are coming one, but the coming one we seek. Right, anyway, doesn't matter which translation, you get the gist, yeah. We don't belong here, and we should focus on what God wants us to do. As far as prosperity is concerned, our prosperity is not here on earth. It is in the coming kingdom, in the coming world, in heaven. We should invest into heaven, and that's what we are encouraged to do. Be generous, be giving, and give to the poor, to those who are in need, and with that we will gain something which is very great in heaven. Okay, so what else have we got? So sin has been abolished. Nobody is interested in sin anymore. Let me just go to one prophecy by William Booth, and that's quite poignant about this whole thing. And he was sort of, you know, at the beginning of the 1900s, change of the century. And William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. And again, a very spiritual man. And let me just see. And he did a great work. There was no doubt about this. Okay, here we go. That's the chief danger of the 20th century. Okay, let me just read it out to you. And that's pretty much what we are facing up to today. The chief danger of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. William Booth, and he made this quote, I don't know, 1899 or 1901 or whatever. It's around about the turn of the century, and he was talking about the 20th century. Let me just repeat this. It's a very, very strong verse. Obviously, it's not a verse from the Bible, but a quote, a very strong quote from William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. Again, let me just check it out. So the chief danger of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. Okay, let me just go through all this stuff. We've got a lot of religion about. And when I talk about the Holy Spirit, I mean, when you look at William Booth, yeah, he knew what the Holy Spirit was. And we are talking the days before Azusa Street and, you know, what Pentecostals would call the Latter-day Rain. And it's kind of important to bear this in mind. But he knew the power of God and what the power of God can do. I'm not sure about his life, you know, what happened in his life. But, you see, there is the power of God. And, And I think the problem we have today is that people are not interested in that. They don't want God in their lives. They don't want the power of God in their lives. They want religion, and they're okay with religion, but they don't want the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. If you invite the Holy Spirit in your life, very soon you will realize all the things you are doing wrong. You know, your selfishness, your, you know, problem areas in your life where your flesh is controlling you and taking you over. But you are doing stuff which is not right before God. The Holy Spirit will point this out, and we don't like this by nature. I don't like this when this happens, but I know it's necessary. It's a bit like, you know, I don't want it, but I need it. Yeah, and God will meet my needs, and this is my need. I need to see where sin is in my life, and I need to, by the power of God and through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit, eradicate sort of areas which are not right in my life. And we all need to do this. We all need to invite. So the Holy Spirit, and let me sort of clarify this as well, is not just, you know, some modern form of spiritual heroin or something. And this sounds very, how to say, almost irreverent. But what I sometimes see is that and it's, I think it's not really what the Bible talks about. People invite the Holy Spirit for a boost and a kick, you know, some spiritual experience, you know, some sort of high, emotional high, but they don't invite the Holy Spirit for truth in their lives. They don't invite the Spirit for leading them to repentance. They don't want this. They don't invite the Holy Spirit for convicting them of sin and judgment. And my friends, this is the important part of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. You need, obviously, the gifts of the Spirit. They are great and they are wonderful. And we need to be eager to get them, you know, to build the body of Christ. Not for ourselves to get a kick out of it or to have some sort of emotional high or something. But we need to invite the Holy Spirit in our lives to build up other Christians around us, to be strong and to be right. To be right with God and to encourage and build up and strengthen the body of Christ here on earth so that evil can be pushed back and that people can be led towards repentance and towards a relationship with Jesus Christ, towards salvation in their lives and towards a faith in the living God and in what Jesus has done. And that is the important thing. And I think sometimes when I, again, I've spent a lot of time within the charismatic Pentecostal, I know a lot of people within that area, and I think that is sort of an emphasis which has sometimes gone a little bit out of the window, that the people are just looking for the next fix, you know, the next big event, the next big speaker, the next sort of emotional high, which, you know, if it is, you know, from the Spirit of God and not just through other means, yeah, and I'm not even saying through other spirits, but sometimes it is just an emotional high, literally an emotional high, similar to going to a concert or something like that. Or a football game, yeah, where people get really elevated and they've got a almost like a spiritual experience when the goals come in and so on. But really, we need the Spirit of God, you know, to bring us closer to God. And in our relationship with God, in our close relationship with God, we can find solace, we can find comfort, we can find peace. And it's going to be a peace that is transcending anything you can find on this earth. So this is really, really important. Let me just go back into this. The chief danger of the 20th century, this is what William Booth said in the 1900s or late 1800s. Religion without the Holy Spirit. Religion is not going to fix it. Yeah? We need the Holy Spirit. We need God's Spirit in our lives to lead us into truth, into righteousness, to convict us of sin. Very, very important. And who preaches about this today? To be fair, I never heard a sermon about the Spirit of God convicting us of our sin. Actually, I can barely remember sermons which talk about sin. It's not this age, is it? And then we've got Christianity without Christ. Yeah. Oh, how much of this stuff is going on? How much is Jesus being pushed out of Christianity? You know, I go to some liberal. I've seen some liberal churches, and I once went to a seminary. Let me just check how much time we've got. Yeah, we've got some time. I once went to a seminary for Lutheran pastors. Yeah, I was just finishing school, and I was looking to become a minister, a preacher. And I was looking, you know, what is the state offering? What is the state university offering? In Germany, we've got the state churches, the Lutheran and the Catholic Church. And so even though, you know, I wasn't a member of the Lutheran Church, I was invited to the seminary. I went there, had a look, and I was just shocked. I was just totally horrified. And even people, they suggested to me not to go anywhere near their church because to them I was too extreme, too radical. And that was pretty much Christianity without Christ. People never spoke about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It was all about self-fulfillment, seeking self. It was all about sort of, at the time, you know, Free Mandela, South Africa was really big, and anti-apartheid and stuff like that. And the church was just talking about that. It wasn't about, you know, finding Jesus. It wasn't about your own personal sin. It wasn't about the ills even in the own country, which at the time was West Germany. It wasn't about that, but it was just about some faraway country who had a different political system, and it was really, really wrong, according to them. Whatever it was, yeah, it... what is the point? You know, you've got people going to hell, and they need salvation, really. You know, and these people are right on your doorstep, and you are shouting about a country on the other side of the globe, which has got a different democratic system or different democracy, and it has to be changed because it's not right, whatever it is, and who again is the judge or whatever. But anyway, the point is, you know, it was Christianity without Christ. Jesus was sort of left, you know, outside. Personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that was crazy. That's insane in their eyes. Yeah. So it was all about, you know, asking questions, you know, philosophy and all this bloody blah. But nobody spoke about, you know, serving Christ. It was interesting as well when they got round and they were asking, why do you want to become a minister of the gospel, or, you know, minister, a preacher, a pastor? And none of them said that they had a vocation. And I happened to be the last one, which is there. And I just said I felt that God was calling me into this. And people thought, like, you know, I'd lost it. They looked at me like I'd lost it. Yeah, it was just like, oh, yeah, you know, I wanted to become an actor. And there were quite a few in there. But, you know, this is an illusion. I can't get it. So I thought I'd become a pastor. And you think, what? It just can't be true. But that was the State Lutheran Church in Germany. I was there for 3 days when I went home. I just couldn't believe it. I thought, I was flabbergasted. I was absolutely flabbergasted. And I thought, this is Christianity? This is Christianity? I mean, it's got nothing to do with Christ anymore. You know, this is just some sort of political club. It could have been a convention of the Labour Party or something like that. That would have probably been very similar, you know, other than, you know, God was maybe mentioned a few more times. And I don't know. Okay, let's go to the next one. We've got forgiveness without repentance. And again, that is very easy. You know, today you lift up your hand, you know, somebody makes an altar call, you lift up your hand, then you are a Christian. Doesn't require any repentance, doesn't require any soul searching. You don't come to Christ because you've got a sin problem. You come to Christ because you want a better life. And that's very often the message they pipe out within these modern churches, even within evangelical churches. Come to Christ because, you know, you want a better life, and that's it. It's not, you know, look, mate, you've got a sin problem. You need to deal with that. And the only way to deal with it is through repentance. And repentance meaning a turning away from a sinful life and a turning towards Jesus Christ and seeking his forgiveness. Obviously not, you know, very often repentance is, I feel really miserable about myself and I'm going to bang my head against the wall to inflict as much pain as I can on myself because I've done wrong. That's not repentance. Repentance is a deliberate turning away from an old sinful life towards a holiness and towards a life, a sanctified life, living it through the power of Christ and receiving forgiveness in the process of doing so. Who preaches about this today? I can't remember a sermon of repentance in any of the, you know, all you hear is, you know, this is fire and brimstone preaching, you know, this is sort of 18th century kind of message. We don't want this today. We don't need this. And this is the core message of the Bible. This is what the Bible is all about. You know, this is what the message is all about. And then the next one is salvation without regeneration. So, again, it's the thing, you know, you will recognize them by their fruits. If somebody comes to Christ, you know, because they lift up their hands and they do the forgiveness without repentance thing, and they do the Christianity without Christ, without really knowing Christ thing, What you find very often is salvation without regeneration is the next bit. So people claim to be saved, they claim to be Christians, but you don't see any fruits in their lives. Nothing changes. And to be fair, I mean, I know a couple of guys, really bad guys. One of the friend of mine, he's a thief, yeah? And he's done it all his life. He's done it all his life. And he's getting old now. He's probably going to be about 60 years old now. I've known him for about 30-odd years, and he's a brother of a friend of mine. And you ask, you know, what's going on, and nothing changes. His whole life is just the same. To be fair, he never made a commitment to Christ. But one thing you find is that, you know, Jesus says that whoever sins is mastered by sin, is controlled by sin, is slave to sin. That is what Jesus says. And we can see this, you know. If somebody gets caught up in a sin, it's just controlling him. It's another a friend of my brother. He's very promiscuous, and his whole life just consists of this long string of promiscuity all the way, you know, with different people and everything. And that's all his life, and he can't get out of it. He can't get out of it. When you confront him with the gospel, he doesn't know. And one friend of mine, a Christian friend, he started talking to him, and he was jealous of his life, and he really wanted to get out because he couldn't see the point in his lifestyle anymore. It didn't satisfy him anymore, and probably never did before. It's just one big lie. And he wanted to get out, but from what I gather, he didn't want to come to Christ. And that is sort of a big problem. I mean, the guy is now, he's probably about 60 years old now. His whole life, just this one string of promiscuity. That's all it was. If you put a stamp on it, that's what it was. And he can't get out because he's mastered by it. He's controlled by it. If you come to repentance, if you come to regeneration, and if you come to salvation, regeneration should follow. There should be a new creature. Everything is new. There should be the power of God just being manifested in that person's life when this happens. And people should maybe not be perfect. None of us is. You know, the flesh is still trying to rise up and get us down. But what we should find is we should find that people will start moving away from a bad lifestyle towards a lifestyle that's pleasing to God, more pleasing to God. Bearing in mind, and please, you know, listen to me, don't misinterpret me. Martin Luther said it, and I totally agree with it, you know, the flesh will stop, raising its ugly head by the time the grave diggers clung their shovels over the coffin to bury the person in the ground. And that's really when the flesh is quiet and when you don't have to worry about it anymore. But till this point, you will struggle. And people who have had a bad life, you know, before they came to Christ, they will probably have bigger struggles and bigger fights than people who have been, you know, well protected and have had a very clean and holy life, or holy in inverted commas, life before they became Christians and then moved on. They've got it maybe a little bit easier than those who have got a horrible life beforehand. Then on the other side, people who come from a bad background, they know how to appreciate what they've got in Jesus. That's for sure. We've got politics without God, and do I need to say more? God has been excluded. I think with the Trump revolution in America, God has been invited back into politics, but he's been pretty much banned for quite a few decades now in American politics. In European politics, there is no God. You know, God has been excluded. He is sort of some sort of, I don't know, he's just on the outside. Nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to know him. Now with the Islamic onslaught in Europe and the demands they make, it comes slowly back in again, but that's there. And then the last point, you know, Booth is making, and we are hitting this today, is heaven without hell. Who's talking about hell these days? We are coming to the end of the talk here. Friends, we are living in the last days, you know. We are living in the last days. You need to wake up. We need to make a point of this, cry out to Jesus and make the most before he comes back.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's christianwarroom.com.